Conference record has joined the conference.
All right, you still there?
I'm here.
Okay. So like I was saying, my name is John Shum with the Grateful Web, and joining me today is Cochran McMillan, percussionist of Tea Leaf Green and co-owner of Coyote Hearing Studios. How are you today, Cochran, and what's new?
I'm well. I am in Oakland, my house. Weather's wonderful, so that's good. What is new? What you said, I'm a part of Coyote and a producer and engineer there. Been doing that for about 6 years and been in Tea Leaf Green for about 4 years. And we're doing, starting last month, we released Track on the 29th. And so like the last Wednesday of every month this year, we're releasing a studio track. So that's new for me and exciting. Excited to see where it goes, just creatively and also just how it's received. So that doing that is going to be fun.
Nice. Yeah, sounds awesome. You joined Tea Leaf full time in 2011. How did you get associated with the guys and their music, and what led to you being a permanent member of the band?
Well, Reed and I have known each other since about 2002 or so. And so we were in the same circles and work-wise and just friends. And Reed came in with Marco Benevento Trio to the studio. I recorded them in like 2009, I think it was, or maybe even 2008. And then he wanted to bring Tea Leaf Green in after that. So he brought Tea Leaf Green because he was playing with them at that point. It must have been in 2009. So we tracked Looking West there. And I engineered it and, helped guide the ship as far as the recording process. And then I think Reed mixed it, like, on headphones or something. He did a great job. But so then after that record, and when it was coming out, the album releases at the Cafe du Nord in San Francisco. And they, called me that morning. We're like, so Scott hurt his ankle yesterday, and we need you to come and play drums. He'll play too, but you know the songs, and you play drums. So it was kind of last, ditch, okay, we'll have to call Cochran then, I guess. So I went and did that gig, and then they were like, after the gig, it was like, well, we're doing a gig this weekend in San Diego, and so can you come do that gig? So I did that gig. That was Oyster Fest. It was a lot of people outside. It was actually good fun. And then it was like 2 weeks later, like, we're doing a gig in Marin, can you do this gig? And I did that gig, and then I think after that gig, they had a whole summer tour, and then Scott went to the doctor and knew he wasn't going to be able to play full drum set until, like, August or something. So I got a call from Trevor, and he's like, so we've got this tour in the summer. We were thinking about having you. I'm kind of looking for, like, a famous drummer. but if you can do it, I just want to know. And I was like, well, I'm famous in my own mind, but no. Honestly, it was great. So we worked out, and they had me do the whole tour. It was, like, a month. And we just had a fun time, and it was like work, not just like, oh, well, it worked great musically or anything, and it did, but it was, everything clicked. And also I have the studio, I have like a lot of, skills and live sound, studio sound, so I have a background in that. So, I have also really had fun kind of being sort of, I kind of privy myself as sort of like music is my life. I certainly am like current in terms of pace, but also like super classical and super, both in classic rock forms and songwriting and American music history and also classical music and stuff. So I think it just worked as a person. I was ready to be in a band more full time because I have a daughter and I took some time off, and it just worked, spiritually, physically, emotionally, everything worked initially. Problems always
right.
Made, but it's actually a good group. It's a great group of people to be involved with.
Have you, before joining them, you said you had, obviously you still do, the Coyote Hearing Studios. Have you been in any live and touring bands previous to setting down roots in the studio?
Yeah, I had. I went to music school in New York for 2 years.
Right.
The Drummers Collective. After a year, a couple years of fucking around, and then I went to music school in New York, and So I played a lot there, but I was also, you know, getting my ass beaten in at music school, but which basically I learned how to practice there. But I toured, right. I toured with a band called Steel Train for a while, and I played in a lot of bands, both like from where I'm from in the South and on the East Coast. And, you know, my studio partner is in a band called Paul Sunshine, and I did a lot of work with them and a lot of playing shows with them on the East and West Coast. And then in the Bay Area, when I moved out here, I played, you know, like a jazz gig once a week, but I had a daughter, she's now 7. And so I kind of couldn't really tour. The timing worked out where it just wasn't going to work out at that time. You know, I needed to not be on the road. So I wasn't really pursuing that. I played in like a rock band in San Francisco and played in a jazz band, you know, just local stuff. And started a recording studio, which I did 2 years of engineering school when I moved to San Francisco. So I'd already had a lot of interest in that from the moment of when I started playing music when I was, you know, younger. So I took that to another level. I met Jeremy Black, who's my studio partner, and we opened up Coyote, like, you know, 6 years ago, Coyote Hearing Studios, and worked pretty hard there for like 2 or 3 years. Now I tour more, so I work there a little less, but I, you know, it's my spot.
Saying how you work there a little less because of touring, are there any other projects that you guys are currently working on there in the studios outside of TV?
Yeah, I mean, that studio is booked pretty much every day. Like a lot of indie bands and a lot of local bands, a lot of, you know, a couple, like, you know, we all have a band from Chicago, but a lot of San Francisco bands, and also me and Reed Mathis and Trevor Garrett have a trio, and we made a covers record there, and we did a tour with Mickey Hart last year, and we made another covers record, which we're finishing now. So we're doing that there. And I work with, you know, I also work with a lot of different people. I mean, that place is pretty busy. I mean, I'll have a saxophone player and come in, and then I'll have a section kind of do something, and they'll have a band in for a week, you know. Both I and Jeremy have a lot going on there. But for me, my plate is mostly focused on either the trio or Tealy Green stuff, just because I enjoy being home with my daughter. It's really nice.
Right. Of course. Yeah, go on.
You know, I love it. I mean, I have to do something musical every day. And doing, having this, have making a new song that we're trying to make really good every month is super exciting to give me something to really focus on there.
The most recent T-Leaf album, I believe it came out last year, was In the Wake. And that was recorded at the studio as well, right?
It was, yeah. We did a year's work on that record at the studio, with Jeremy Black producing it, you know, us and him producing it basically. And it just really hunkered down, did many, many days, a lot of hours, a lot of time spent. And it was a really great process. It was kind of painstaking, but it was up and down. And it was one of the great artistic processes and creations I've ever been involved in personally. You know, just for me, it was just so fulfilling after finishing it. We went to New York for a few days and finished it with this guy, Greg Calvi, who's one of the most brilliant mastering engineers I know of. So it was a great process. And then we released it in May. And I'm now proud of it, proud of what we did.
It sounds awesome. I like the album. What was it like kind of being on both sides of that album, you know, the perspective of an artist and playing in the band, and, you know, kind of being the, you know, producer, engineer there at the studio?
It's really great that having Jeremy involved in a real way, because he, you know, really let him be Jeremy the way he works in the studio. We both do our own, you know, he works and then I work. We don't really work together. You know, we both have our own things going on. And I like the way he works, and I try to allow that. But also, you know, I'm in there in the mornings. I'm in there at night. I'm dealing with band management, my manager, I'm dealing with my studio management. You know, it's a lot, you know, it's more of an executive producer role, honestly, not in terms of putting money up, but in just in terms of the thing. And I'm also scheduling who's coming in when and what we're doing. And, so for me, it's a lot of work, you know, and I love it. I mean, I like being, if anybody who knows me knows that I need something to do, you know, and I did. It's how I operate, and I'm 32, and I feel like I'm reaching my full potential. So I'm just trying to do as much as I can.
Oh yeah. Well, kind of going back into the Coyote hearing sessions, starting in January, Tea Leaf, you guys kicked off a launch of new songs where listeners can download a new track for free on the last Wednesday of each month. Are all of these songs, are they previously recorded, or are they individual songs that you guys are working on month to month?
Yeah, so that's, so far, we have a lot of ideas, but it basically last month, Trevor started putting that song together, sharing it with me about mid-month. We went into the studio one morning and did a couple things, and then we literally had the night before, or two nights before the Wednesday, and then all day Tuesday, and Tuesday night, and all Wednesday morning up until noon, and I finished that and put that out. That it ended up happening last month because the studio was extremely booked after New Year's. Moving forward, basically I'm booking, you know, 3 to 5 days at the studio a month with the idea that we will be putting together something during that time every month. And it's mysterious and it's super exciting actually. And you know, everyone is trying to, you know, working with the ideas of being aware they're going to write songs for it, what kind of material. Maybe we might even rework some old recording that was not released, you know, that we've done at the studio. We have a lot of stuff like that, but the idea is to put a new track out every month. So we don't know what it's going to be. Maybe we'll do two in 1 month or something, you know. I think it's just going to, we have a lot of, there's a lot of options.
Yeah, absolutely. The one that you guys did put out was called Reaching Through the Void. And as far as I could tell, it didn't sound like you rushed it at all. But good work on that one.
That's a testament to working in the studio environment where it's your job and you're getting paid to do it for 4+ years, for sure. Mm-hmm. Definitely makes you put you, you can, I work well with those kind of deadlines. I mean, you know, there's things I'd change, but I think it turned out really good. I was really pleased.
Yeah, hell yeah. Looking at all this work that's been going into the studio, whether last year's release or this, you know, the most recent song and songs coming out each month, it seems like there's a rejuvenated dedication to collective songwriting taking place. And while I'm sure live shows and the improvisational, the jamming and everything is obviously a part of the band and the brand, it just seems like there's a lot going on in the studio. Are you guys trying to make a push more towards that area?
Well, you know, I mean,
the time.
I think it's, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, go for it. That's fine.
I don't think that, you know, I think one, I think on just a very practical basis, it's opportunistic in terms of we have a great studio, that we all are very comfortable working in. And if we can make the time work and make it work for the studio and for the band, we're going to do as much as possible just because that's what we do, you know, and it certainly satiates me. And also it's just the, you know, it's what I'm here doing, you know, I'm both running a studio and playing in the band. So it makes sense on that level. Also,
right.
We're doing more like weekends right now. We're not really on the road in a van for a bit. Just kind of decided not to do the winter tour this year, but we're doing shows, you know, and we're also working on the West Coast a lot, and we've got like a Brooklyn Bowl weekend happening in May, and we're doing festivals and stuff like that, you know. So we're home during the week and we're home. So that also leads us to, we're going to be creating stuff at the studio, you know, and we have just developed a process where everybody has a way of working there now, each individual and together in different. It could be two of us. It could be all of us. It could be Jeremy and one of us. It could be just me. It could be not just Trevor, just Reed. You know, we're all doing and working there. So it's a really great opportunity for us to, we all like working together and we like each other's songs and we like working on those songs to do it, you know, to really see what comes of it. Just because that's, you know, it seems very natural for our lifestyle and where we're sitting right now.
Absolutely. Nice not having to jet set all around the country in the van, you know, and being able to work from home for a while.
For a minute, yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, I love being on the road and playing a lot of shows, does both for, you know, my playing and our playing together and being able to, you know, play music in front of people is just such an honor and so awesome to take it to another place, which is so beautiful. You know, but it's also nice to be home.
Hmm. I noticed also you mentioned the Brooklyn Bowls coming up in May, but coming up pretty recently, another hometown gig for you guys. You're playing Terrapin Crossroads, Phil Lesh's venue.
Yeah.
Have you guys played there before, or have you had a chance personally to play with Phil at any point in your career?
Well, so yeah, we played the Great Room last year. We did a night there. Mm-hmm. I played percussion with ALO there one whole night at the Great Room last year. But and the trio played in the bar on a Saturday at Terrapin, and I was a part of Jay Blakeford's book release thing.
Cool.
Where it was like I played with a lot of different people at that gig. And then since that time, you know, I've gone up there. Ross James and Brian Graham and those guys are playing in the bar, and it's all kinds of, and the band Go by Ocean, which were Kay Sherr friends of mine, and they play every Saturday. So that scene there is something that I'm definitely loving, just like witnessing and also being a part of it whenever I can. So I intend to get there a lot more, and I'm super excited to get there all weekend. This weekend we're doing the two nights and also a special show on Saturday during the day for an hour at 4, which is going to be a little more stripped down kind of thing. So I'm pretty pumped. The weekend is going to be full, a lot of Terrapin music happening. And also my friends Go by Ocean are playing in the bar on Saturday as well. It's just a great vibe there.
Cool. It really, it seems like it's kind of just working to bring, you know, together the whole community that's kind of fostered all around the Bay Area. It's cool
it's
to see.
Doing it, you know. It is cool to see, like, you know, we're, you know, Reed and I, you know, we'll get a text like, we're playing Come Up and Sit In, you know, on a Tuesday night or whatever. So that they're definitely actively doing that. They're connecting with musicians in the Bay and, you know, being like, hey, come up, come hang out, come, maybe, you know, maybe sit in. So it's exactly the type of thing you want to see happening if you're a musician, for sure.
Cool. Well, let's see. We're still kind of just, you know, a month two into 2014. What are you looking forward to through the rest of the year, besides obviously the Coyote Hearing sessions and some of those weekend dates?
Well, I mean, I've got this trio record we're going to put out. There's another record of covers, and I'm like, hey, just love the vibe that we've got going on and the way it sounds, and it's just like, some super honest music that I really, and really great songs that we like playing. And I'm really excited to finish that up in February and release that again online for free download. So I'm pumped up about that. I'm really excited about doing that. And then doing some trio dates and stuff. I think we're going to go to Jazz Fest and do some playing.
Very nice.
So that, all that's going to be pretty fun. And, I'm pretty excited about that other than obviously the things you mentioned before.
Great. What when do we expect that trio album to drop?
I'm hoping March.
March.
Being conservative, you know, it's not a money thing at all, and it's not, no one else is involved in it. It's just a matter of us getting it kind of where we want to get it, you know, and finish it. And just in terms, we're mixing it now. It's really all we're doing, and so whenever we finish that, we'll just probably put it out as quickly as possible.
Cool. Well, yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing that. That kind of wraps up what I have for you. I want to thank you for taking the time to speak with me, and on behalf of the fans and followers of Tea Leaf Green and the Grateful Web. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we finish?
I think that's great. Thanks for calling me up. Glad we got to talk.
Absolutely, yeah, I appreciate you taking some time.
No problem.
All right, cool. Well, enjoy being home and all the good work, and we look forward to hearing what you guys put out.
All right, man. Thank you.
Thanks. Cheers.